Oh, you know. You hear that music. It's time to connect the dots. Hey, this is your host, Tom Edison. Did the light bulb go off in your head? The name that brightens things up with light. Light. And this Tom Edison also projects love. You know, there's so many things to talk about, but if you were just listening to the last show, as usual, the ET Yoga Man, Charles Green, talking about some interesting things. I always like to hear about Lemurians from that ancient continent civilization called Lemuria. Supposedly, there's a giant city of Lemurians down under Mount Shasta in California. And I don't blame them for being underground, especially all the abuse the people on the surface of California have to deal with. You know, the chemtrail planes flying over it every day, the secret military groups targeting towns with energy weapons. You know, that whole nonsense that happened down in, or we could say tragedy, that happened down in Paradise, California, made the news. It was all intentional destruction. And, of course, those who serve the dark side, they, it's kind of like if you ever watched the Batman show from back in the 60s, you can catch the reruns, or go to the store and buy the whole set of Batman episodes. Well, it was a popular episode on TV, and it had the villains were all characters, things like the Joker, and they would use, when they committed crimes, they would use wordplay to emphasize the importance of their crime and to help make themselves feel important. And that's what the dark side uses in the real world is today. That's why the town of Paradise was picked, because the dark side, who is an, they are an anti-God group. They want to play God, so in order for them to believably play God, they have to pretend there is no God, and they fill in the gap and say, we're the God. And in order to emphasize how powerful they are, they would love nothing better than to destroy a whole city by the name of Paradise, because the name Paradise refers to the location of where the real God exists. His home turf is called Paradise. And we as humans get the chance to travel there eventually. That's the whole part of what life is. You know, we're making it home to God, and God, it's known that God, that's his home, you know, like we call our house our home, that's his home, Paradise, though he extends himself into every little bit of the universe and every little thing that he wants to, and can be everywhere simultaneously. Paradise is the location. Now, here's something people never talk about. But before I get to there about Paradise, that's why Paradise was destroyed on purpose, because the dark side has the energy weapons. They focus the energy beams, and they can cook things, cause them to catch fire. So the Paradise fire, it's important to understand this. The fires that caught to the trees, they were actually started by energy weapons. And if you saw the pictures, you saw the houses burnt down to the ground, but the trees around them, a lot of the trees were still not burned. So the trees didn't cause the houses to burn. The houses were locked onto, if, kind of a phrase coming out of Star Trek, they were locked onto with energy beams. And how can they find, know where the houses were? Well, everybody's got electronic cell phones and stuff, and they just trace the signal. You know, when you have a cell phone on, you're beeping to the local tower, your location. And every point on the planet can be mapped out to a specific location, so they send the energy beams where they're having the locations where people have Wi-Fi set up in their house, and that's how they knew how to target all the houses. It's real simple. But anyhow, that's why Paradise was chosen, because that's what the evil deep state, the demonic beings, they're like those Batman characters, criminals in the Batman show. They want to make word connections to kind of like put their mark on the dirty deed that they just did. Look, we just destroyed Paradise. See, we told you we're more powerful than God, and we proved it because we destroyed a town called Paradise. You know, that's how their sick little minds work. And there's been plenty of other instances that done the same thing. They're playing word games, which proves it's the dark side, the deep state, the anti-God creatures, the anti-God groups that orchestrate these things to happen so they can kind of create for themselves a little fame like the character, criminal characters in the Batman show did. Fort Hood, Texas, a number of years ago, right? It's located in the town of Killeen. Well, some army guy went berserk and killed 13 people in the town of Killeen because Fort Hood is located in Killeen, Texas. This goes on and on. You can find these things in other tragedies. But anyhow, back to the mention of Paradise. This is an educational show, by the way. You know, I seek to educate the general public on things. Paradise, we've heard it before mentioned by religious groups. Well, the more detailed description of Paradise, it's not connected in the way that we understand things to be connected to any other part of the universe. It has its special place outside of what we know as the universe. Paradise is a special location outside the universe, surrounded by the universe. And in order to get there, you have to, you know, we've all heard the story of you die, the boatman has to take you over. Well, it's not an evil boatman, but the mode of transport, we could say angels carry you over there for easy a way to explain it, but that's how it's done. As you progress, become more spiritual in your evolution, you know, this is just one part of the evolution here in the physical realm, but all beings that have become humans on planet Earth, they have the opportunity to journey all the way up to as high as they can go, and then you take the boat ride or the air ride or the space ride over to Paradise, where you become one with God, and then you think of yourself as part of the one, then you lose your personal identity. In fact, I hear your personal identity begins to disappear after the ninth dimension. There's the 10th, 11th, and 12th dimensions. And when we go to numbers, that will bring us back to what was in the last show, in the ET Yoga show. Mr. ET Yoga, for those of you who don't know his name, you can find his name by going on BBS Radio, Station 1, on Saturday at 9 p.m. My show is Saturday at 10 p.m. The name of the show here is Connect the Dots, and I'm connecting the dots for you now. Anyhow, he's talking about in the last show, they're talking about the chakras. We've all heard about, well, not all of us, but many of us have heard about the seven chakras, the invisible spinning energy forces within the human body. And so he mentioned also about the five chakras outside the body that most people, even the people who know about the seven chakras, sometimes don't realize. The five of them are outside the body, the first one being right above your head, and that connects to your higher self. And so that's a total of 12 chakras then. 7 plus 5 equals 12. Hey, you know, I know my mathematics. Just like there's 12 dimensions, or zones of reality, vibrational zones of reality. That's what the dimensions are. Nobody ever explains it like that, but that's how it is, you know. There are different vibrational parameters in each so-called dimension. And the higher you go up, the faster the vibrations. And that explains why entities, beings, living spirits from the faster moving dimensions can't be seen unless they make an attempt to allow themselves to be seen, because they're moving so fast our eyes are not equipped to spot super fast movement. We have parameters through which our eyes can see vibrations. So anyhow, there it is, the number 12 again. And it's just an important point to make. And then he's talking, he also mentioned something we rarely hear about. There's something called the 13th chakra, which is supposedly also connected to your heart, and that has the power to override the other 12 chakras. Well, we're not going to worry about that, because most of us are, some of us, even our seven chakras are not spinning, because we've been beaten down so much by the world controllers and the dark sides that seek to, you know, deactivate us to become zombie slaves. And some of us are walking around with zombies. Public education, if you went to public education, they were beating you down to make you dumber, in fact. They filled you up with the facts and figures they wanted you to, but they wanted to destroy your thinking in the same way, to some extent. Of course, the amount of education you got in school depended a lot upon your teachers. Some teachers were good teachers, other teachers just did it by the book, which was getting you to remember facts and figures and not teaching you how to use your intelligence. Well, this show hopefully will increase your intelligence. And I always mention my book, not because I could use some sales, but I wrote the book called Connect the Dots Theory. I wrote it with a purpose in mind, to educate average people, common people. If you're a common person out there, and sometimes I'm talking about things beyond that you're aware of, like a lot of people don't know about chakras. A lot of people don't know about the other dimensions of reality. They think the physical reality, which encompasses the first three dimensions, is all there is. Well, it's not true. But you can get a crash course in learning about all these things that the government in public education is not willing to tell you if you simply get a copy of my book, Connect the Dots Theory. And we can actually thank, which will bring me into my next word, we can thank Google for showcasing the first 40 pages of my book. So you just Google the name, Connect the Dots Theory, and you can get to view and read the first 40 pages of my book free. How about that? So you have no excuse for getting a taste of what's there, and you'll see some amazing pictures, pictures of things that nobody else ever bothered to put in books. And I'm claiming the first one to put these pictures out here, because nobody else ever did. And it may be incite you to buy the book, purchase the book, and see the other pictures that are not within the first 40 pages. But what's important that you'll see in the first 40 pages is you'll see the diagram drawings before I started taking pictures in the wilderness of the sparkling points of light that float in the air, kind of like you walk into a field of fireflies, little lights floating around everywhere and stuff. Well, there's other focal points of light that sparkle and hover in the air, and they just kind of like hang in the air like a and wave a little back and forth like a breeze blowing a spider web. And I draw diagrams of it. I have one picture of it captured in a field above grass. And these are amazing things to think about and see and understand, that these things exist in our world. You're missing out on them because you don't go out in nature, and you don't go out in nature at night when there's people around. People draw certain energies in, certain invisible creatures into an area that normally isn't there, especially if you have a group of people. Start learning about this stuff. I wrote the book to educate the human race, to bring us up, to gain an understanding of just a little more than our so-called five senses can tell us. But like I said, thank Google for putting the first 40 pages out there for free. I thank Google, and I know, because it's good to thank people for things. If somebody does you a favor, you thank them for it, because gratitude creates its own frequency, and it's a good frequency, just like love is a good frequency. And you can love yourself, helps you love others. That's right. Look in the mirror and love yourself. And look down at yourself, around yourself, be proud of yourself, love yourself, because it's a good frequency. And gratitude is a good frequency, too. In fact, the late Dr. Emoto, where he took the photographs of water. There's all kinds of water. I talk about it. I'm an expert on water myself. I don't have to prove it. I know it. When you're an expert on something, you know it. But I don't say that to brag. I say it because so you can understand, if I ever talk anything about water, I know what I'm talking about. Well, anyhow, Dr. Motor became an expert on water through his scientific experimentation. He first started taking pictures of water with a special type of photography, and he found that water is basically chaotic, and all waters are not the same. He found that when meditating, projecting feelings of gratitude, he could change the shape of the water into a crystalline form with hexagonal snowflake, like arms going out. You know, all snowflakes are hexagonal. That means there's six arms reaching out from a center point. Look it up in the dictionary. You can learn a lot about the word hexagon, hexagonal. It'll connect you with the Star of David shape. The universe is built around hexagonal forms more so than cubes. So the cube is one of the five planetonic solids. And that's why the shapes got named after Plato, because he had reasoned out or learned from others, when we investigate Plato, that a lot of his philosophy and thinking he learned from other people. And so, but his name, became famous because he, reached more of the general public, and he became an expert on it, talking about these shapes. And his basic theory was that our whole physical reality here is based on the five platonic shapes. And you can look that up, too. That's how his name got attached to it. We're talking about, you know, the cube, the tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid with a base of all equilateral triangles. And there's the icosahedron, 20-faced thing of identical sides, the dodecahedron, it's a 12-sided figure, and the other one, well, you can go look that up yourself. How about that? So anyhow, Dr. Emoto, you look him up too, E-M-O-T-O, there's a video out there. That's how I learned about Dr. Emoto. I bought the video and found out all he had discovered. But I knew a lot about water already before I even viewed his DVD video. And I already knew that if you can change the shape of water, it becomes more, has less surface tension. So it's a wetter water, can get into your cells better. That's the importance of water in your body. You know, I'm simplifying it for you. You have to read the technical information on that. It's pretty technical. But when I start talking about things, I'm talking to the average person to make it easy to understand. Yes, all water is not the same. And you can add things called catalysts to water to make it more soluble wetter. And you do that by lowering the surface tension. That means it can get in and out of your cells better. And everything that works in your body is based on water taking stuff basically in and out. That's the major thing. You're 70% water. Your brain, I hear, is maybe even 90% water. But the quality of the water is called living water. And you can drink living water by adding catalyst to distilled water. That's right. Never drink distilled water by itself, because that leaches things out of your body. You know, doctors tell you drink distilled water, but boy, you better be careful. First of all, the only water you can trust is distilled properly is the water you distill yourself, and it has to be distilled in glass or stainless steel. You know, you cannot go to the store and buy distilled water in a plastic container, because already the distilled water is leaching out the plastic. You drink that, you're putting bad stuff into your body. So you have to buy a distiller and distill your own water. And then you can add a catalyst to it and energize that water, and it lowers the surface tension. And it's the most beneficial type of water to drink. There's places in the world where the water is like famous places like Hunts Land, and there's other places. Machu Picchu, I think, has good water. There's five places around the world that has good water that naturally, but it gets energized by flowing from the mountains over silica-based rocks. Boy, you get an education tonight on this. And but the science has gotten to the point where we can actually make even better than the natural water. I give a free plug for a friend of mine, John Ellis. Look him up, John Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. He sells machines that can make lower surface tension water for you, very healthy, and it's energized. Look him up on the internet. He's from New York State. Hey, I'm from New York City. Right now it's about 20 minutes after 1 in the morning in New York. Here's an interesting fact when we're talking about time. Yeah, it's only like 10:20 in California. You know your time zone. But if you happen to be listening to the show, let's say in England or the UK, as for United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Wales, you know, in that area of the world, sometimes referred to as Greenwich Mean Time, GMT, I call it UK time, United Kingdom time. There's something interesting going on now. In general, there's a five-hour difference between New York City time and London time, London, England. Okay, but because we moved the clocks ahead early here into daylight savings time, earlier than we used to do, there's only a four-hour difference now, because the British don't move their clocks ahead into what they call, I think, summertime, until the last week of March, last weekend of March, which is not exactly yet. So right now there's only a four-hour difference between New York City and London. So my show starts 1 a.m., Sunday 1 a.m. in New York City. That means it's only 5 a.m. At 5 a.m. my show is starting in London, England, and the rest of the United Kingdom. But in another week or so, they'll be back to five-hour difference. Then my show will be starting at 6 a.m. in London, England. So it's a little interesting thing with the daylight savings time moves. And, of course, hey, this is an educational show. This is a call-in radio show, too. If you got something in relation to what I'm talking about, or just something interesting to talk about, hey, call the number. It's 888-627-6008. If you can't remember that number, you might be listening to the show on BBS radio, internet radio, via your cell phone or via your personal computer or your laptop or something like that. But you might be listening in on a phone line. Then you, in order to call, you have to call in on another phone line. But the call-in number here is 888-627-6008. That's it. And prove to me the line still works. Somebody out there with a phone, call in. And I'm sure there's something interesting you can come up with and say. I mean, there's so many interesting things to talk about happening. Now there's this so-called event, the Galactic Federation of Light, is having it. They're going to show their faces. The Galactic Federation of Light, that's something like 52 star nations. I mean, there's some basic ones we know, you know, Pleiadians, Sirians, Lyrians, from the constellation Lyra, L-Y-R-A, Lyrians, L-Y-R-A-N-S, Google it. You'll find out some more. So here's something that people, the event. So the event is when supposedly there's billions, sounds like a fantastic number. Yeah, billions of spacecraft in our solar system now, because we are the hot point, on the hot ticket. We're the main event in the, our local universe here. Earth is the last planet to be freed from the controls of the dark side. That's it, and that's what the event is all about. And simultaneously, the Earth is moving up into the fifth dimension from the third dimension. That means the Earth is starting to vibrate faster. We're already in the process. So we have actually two timelines. We've heard this mentioned before, going on at the same time. How many timelines can happen at the same time? Probably an infinite amount. What would be the point? Anyhow, there's two timelines going on. There's the third dimensional timeline, and then there's the fifth dimensional timeline going on. There isn't going to be no more. The third one, included with the third one, is the fourth dimensional, too. But there's, you know, we refer to it as third dimensional time zone. So the vibrational frequency zones of the third dimension and the fourth dimension are still chatting along here, and this is where the dark side hangs out and rules with an iron fist. And they rule through intimidation and fear and killing and violence. That's why these things perpetuate on planet Earth, because they have control of the controlling authoritative positions, and they see to it that we keep fighting amongst ourselves. Sad. But anyhow, when we finally, the Earth is going to move up into the fifth dimension, it's on its way right now, when we, the human race, have the opportunity to ascend with the Earth into the fifth dimension and leave all the dirt bags, the false gods behind, the no-gooders, the evil ones. They're all going to be left behind, or they're going to, repent and change their ways. Most of them probably won't. They'll be stuck in that reality, and they'll be eventually moved to another planet that's evolving where their kind is still allowed. But their kind will no longer be allowed on Earth when Earth is fully into the fifth dimension. And there's a lot of videos out on the YouTube that explain, you know, there's the explanation of, like, the third dimension will become like the cellar of an old house. And if you're stuck in the cellar, eventually you're going to be cut off and locked in the cellar along with all the other trash and bad, violent things. Whereas if you move up with the Earth up to the top floor, to the roof of the building, or top floor, whatever you want to call it, that's where the fifth dimension is going to be, and that's where the people who want to evolve into the loving, the fifth dimension of love, where love is the predominant force, and people get along, and other races get along with people, and et cetera, et cetera. And if you have a choice, wouldn't you rather get along with everybody and have this constant bickering over nothing that we have to go through here in the third dimension, and we're all subject to it. So anyhow, the event, these billions of spacecraft, they're going to finally take control of all our media, just like a science fiction movie, and announce that they're going to land the following day, probably. And then they're going to land their craft where they decide to land it. It might not be the White House lawn, but they're going to land and show themselves to us, and then we're going to finally, there's going to be the beginning of full disclosure, and we're finally going to see what has been, we've been prevented from seeing by the evil controlled governments, which is about all of them, because, like I said, the dark side controls all the key positions. That's how they rule over mankind in the early part of the 21st century. That's how they ruled us for the thousands and thousands of years, started with the Anunnaki hundreds of thousands of years ago. And there was other bad groups that have come here. We heard about the Dracos, you know. That's connected with dragons and bad dragons and lizards, reptilians, and all that stuff. They're all connected some way or not. But here's, if you've heard about these Anunnaki, the reptilians and stuff, here's one you haven't heard about that nobody ever talks about. I only know about it because I met with somebody who was abducted by these race of ET abductors, and they're connected with a race called the Caradonians, which is a human-looking race. And when during his abduction, which happens to many people, they extracted his semen, and they inserted it in a woman from the Caradonian race, and children were conceived, and they spent some time on Earth, but they eventually, his ET abductors told him that his children were going to be raised amongst the Caradonian race of humans. And I have no reason to doubt this guy. You know, I told him a little about the things that I experienced in life, and when I mentioned to him, you know, that thoughts were put into my head to think this, and you could read about that in the first 40 pages of Connect the Dots Theory. Google it. Connect the Dots Theory. Google it. And Google will present you with the first 40 pages. Unfortunately, they're still listing it as fiction. It's not fiction. It's total truth. It's nonfiction. What do you expect from a company with a name like Google? You know, they're going to mess up, or they did it on purpose because they're controlled by the deep state, too. Anyhow, Caradonians. Start looking that one up. See if you can find anybody has anything to do with that. Hey, call in if you have anything to say about the Caradonians. It's a race of beings that no one ever talks about. I just got some inside information that somebody was connected them to personally because he was part of their half-breed race breeding. They take semen from males here on Earth and they insert it into females from other races. And there's other races doing that too, other ET races. ET as an extraterrestrial, meaning not of this Earth. I call them note creatures because it's easy to remember. Not, N-O-T, of this T, Earth, E, N-O-T-E, not of this Earth. So I call them note creatures. That makes it real clear. You know, because we don't have, a lot of people don't know the word that, know what that word terrestrial means. You know, the more simpler we can keep the language, the more people will understand. That's the point of talking and communication. We want people to understand. When you write a book, you want to keep it as simple as possible because the point of writing the book was to communicate. If you use too many fancy words, you're losing people. You think people are going to, everyone is going to stop and get out a dictionary or encyclopedia and trying to figure out what you, that fantastic word you're using, anti-disestablishmentarianism, means, you know? They're not. Most people, you know, this is planet Earth. Most people are lazy. I'm lazy, too, to some extent, because I'm of the Earth here. And, of course, we're told we're all actually of the stars. We're all of there's a higher light blueprint of our true self out there in the higher dimensions. But when we're here, we're here. Yes, I'm an earthling, you know, born into this earth, and I've lived a very eventful life. You know, when I look back already that all I've experienced, I've lived at least 10 lives than one life, something very few people can tell. You know, maybe I lived 100, but I've lived sure a lot. I've jammed a lot of time into the years I've been here, and that's how I learned a lot. And just in case you don't know, planet Earth is what's called, the word's out there, it's called a decimal planet. It means a planet where new things are tried. I guess that's when maybe I volunteered to come here, you know? Whether I volunteered or not, it's irrelevant. I'm here. I'm living it. I'm experiencing it. I'm interacting with it. And you should be interacting with it, too, and understand that to interact with the higher dimensions, you have to, you don't have to necessarily meditate. You have to just, prayer is the same thing as meditation, or you just have to lie down, forget about the day-to-day trivial, and think. You want to contact God? Well, you have a direct connection already. You don't even have to get down on your knees. You know, you can do it if you want to show respect, but you don't have to do that. God does not require people to get down on their knees. That's a mishap. That's a carryover from the false gods. You see, when the false gods came here and they played gods, they wanted man to worship him. They forced him to get down on his knees and worship, or else he was going to face the retribution or their vengeance, because the false gods are the vengeful ones. The real God has no vengeance. The real God is up you love. God loves everyone because all the creatures in the universe are connected to his loving life force that sustains everything. Even, unfortunately, well, we can say the dark side, the deep state, they've all taken advantage of the freebies that God puts out there in the universe. Without God, life would not exist, the real God. And yes, the real God, people say you can't define him. Well, that's not the truth. There you can begin to define him to some extent, you know? I don't never listen to these people. Don't ever tell me how it can't be done. I don't take those kind of answers. I don't take no for an answer. And if I have to truly understand, I might have to actually get to paradise to truly understand, but I have a good perception of who God really is. And everyone can connect with him wherever you are. You just have to stop and think, I want to connect with you, the supreme, the source of all there is, if you don't want to relate to him personally. But I happen to know that to relate to the source of all that is personally, he is affectionately known as the Heavenly Father. If you ever read the teachings of Jesus, he talks about and refers to the source of all that is the real one and only God as the Heavenly Father. He's the Heavenly Father of everyone. Those who refuse to acknowledge him personally, you're actually snubbing the God. But he's not going to hold that against you. But I just wanted to let you know, there's a little more to know. First of all, God's a trinity. You know, there's so much information out there. I just do a little of it in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. It's not in the first 40 pages, so you'll have to purchase it. Chapter 7, it's the evolving concept of God. You know, famous people have referred to God as a concept. The famous John Lennon of the Beatles had a song called God. He says, God is a concept by which we, he said, measure our pain. Well, I don't measure my pain by it, but I understand that God is a concept because we don't have all the pieces to the picture puzzle yet. But what has been revealed is God is a trinity. It was the original source of all there is with all there was. And the first two creations were the second and third parts of the trinity. At that point, the source of all there is as a trinity, the first source and center was the Heavenly Father. The second source and center became known as the Eternal Son. A lot of people confuse Jesus with being the Eternal Son. No, Jesus, the one we know as Jesus, Lord Jesus, he is a creator God appointed by the Heavenly Father to rule our local universe here. And there's different types of universes. There's local universes. There's super universes. There's books out there that tell you about this stuff if you really want to know. Most people don't, unfortunately, but it's not that important that you know that. And the third source is the infinite spirit, also known by other names like the Holy Spirit. And that's the Trinity of God. I briefly mentioned it in chapter 7 of my book, The Evolving Concept of God, and I connect it with geometry so people can understand that geometry is part of creation. And the way I explain it, it indirectly makes the point that, you know, the scientists say everything can be broken down to numbers. Well, I make the point that when you gain an understanding of the geometry relating to the original source of all that is, numbers came out as a way to explain geometry. And so everything could be more explained with geometry, angles, and frequencies. Numbers are invented to describe things and pinpoint things and do scientific equations. And that's my take on it. Hey, if you can prove me wrong, I tell you that I say this every day. If I say something wrong, hey, call up and say, hey, you made a mistake. And we'll debate it for a minute or two. But I'm pretty much, you know, I make it. It's one of my points I make in my life that when I talk, I want to know what I'm talking about. Occasionally I make a mistake. My percentage of being correct every day, because I've worked on myself to be correct, it runs between 95 and 99% every day of my life. And I'm always striving for that. Once in a while I get a day where everything is 100%, and then I give gratitude that to all the help I got into obtaining that 100% correction in a day. If you're not at my level, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that you want to try to be perfect. No one is perfect but God, the original source of all that is. There's where the perfection lies, but we need to strive. So realistic numbers, strive for that 99% correction. I obtain it quite oftenly, but, you know, an average day, 95% correct, 96% correct, you know. That's where I'm at, you know. I'd start there, but I thought to be there, and I increasingly proved. I have bad days, too. A bad day for me might be I'm only 85% correct, or only 90% correct. But I don't have too many bad days. And the more you work at it, the better you get. You know, that's how it is. So anyhow, gratitude creates good frequencies. Love creates good frequencies. And you learned a little about paradise. Now here's, I ask questions. And if you've got an answer to this, you best please call in immediately, because I've asked this question of everybody I think that might possibly know, and no one has given me a definitive answer. Yes, I've seen that. And I'm talking about when you expand your vision, and some of us know how to do that and some of us don't, and you look up in the sky at night, you're going to see the sparkling points of red light, kind of like little tiny little sparkling, blinking Christmas lights. They're all red, and they're sparsely spaced between the stars. And they're everywhere. And they're up in the sky. The blinking red lights. To this day, I have not found one breathing human being that can actually say they've seen it. They don't know what I'm talking about. You know? But I know others must have seen this. I can't be the only one. I mean, really, they're there, but you have to expand your vision to see them. You know, you got to like tune in to another frequency level, and your vision can tune into other frequency levels. I know, because I've experienced it. All right, so I'm still looking to find that person who has seen it. No, I don't have a picture of that particular thing. What else have I noticed when I've expanded my vision? You know, the air we walk through its partition like soap bubbles, you know. One soap bubble curves off another, curves off the adjacent one, and that one curves off the adjacent one, you know. Get one of those little toy things, bubble blowers, blow on them, and you'll see bubbles stick together and they curve off each other. Well, that's how the air is partitioned. I couldn't get a photograph of that either, but I've seen it, and the way you can see it is you have to learn how to expand your vision. And there's many ways to do that. Hey, if you're interested in things like that, call up. And, you know, we'll only, you know, when we start talking about things like that, it opens up the door for other people to talk about interesting things, that experiences that they have. And sure, there's people, some experiences only a few people on the planet get to experience. I'm still beginning to think, what, am I the only one who can see this? Like, wait, you know, I don't get it. But whatever, I'm not going to let it bother me. In fact, I can turn on a dime, as the saying goes. You ever hear about monatomic gold? It's good for you. I don't have any, though. So if you're listening and you got monatomic gold, send me your monatomic gold. You want to know where to send it to? You can find out. Go to BBS Radio. Look up my show, Connect the Dots, Station 1, Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can click on the name of the show, and that'll, you'll learn other things about me. You'll learn I'm running for president again. And there's all connections. You'll learn about my book. You'll learn about my music. You can view it at the CD Baby Music Store. Just click on the CD Baby link. So you, and you can find everything you want. You can find out how to where to mail things to me. So like I said, send me your monatomic gold. I'll be impressed. And be sure to leave a phone number, and I'll call you back and thank you with gratitude, and then we'll put some more good vibrations into the universe, and that might be a lasting relationship. Who knows? But I just ask that for amusement. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter whether you send me it or not, but I'm asking. Send me your monatomic gold, you know. I live in the below the poverty level. I can't really afford to buy that stuff in the quantities I'd like to have. Because, you know, and there's a lot of things you can do with it. And if you probably have it and doing it with it, you probably don't want to part with it. But that's it's an honest request. Send me your monatomic gold. And you find out where to send it by going to BBS Radio and looking up my show, Connect the Dots, Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You know, another thing I've got in my book, Connect the Dots Theory, I've got philosophy. Philosophy. That's right. I'm a philosopher in my own right. And I've made some amazing statements like people work better with agreements and understandings than rules, inflexible rules. Unfortunately, our world is ruled by inflexible rules. But we'd all get along a lot better with mutual understandings and agreements. what can I say? The burden of proof lies not only on the person who's trying to prove the point, but the burden of proof lies equally on those who try to disprove something. You know, where's your proof? So you can turn the tables on anybody who's trying to prove something, you know, vice versa, or trying to disprove something. Like these people, mainstream media with a you know, fake news to channels like CNN, even on Fox now, too. They got these, what I call them, propaganda scientists coming on. They work for the network, and they try to tell you, they're telling people that vaccines are safe and that the people that are like me who warn people about vaccines, how dangerous they are, and the thousands of testimonials of people who got screwed by taking vaccines that were harmful, they're trying to say that we're making the stuff up and that we're the criminals when they are the criminals for trying to push harmful products on you. And this is what they do. Big pharma, the pharmaceutical companies, they hire propaganda scientists, and the networks, they're in with the whole scam, mainstream media, fake news. They hire their own propaganda scientists. Unbelievable. And these people, I don't know, they have a conscience. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're getting a paycheck to read off the teleprompter screen, and they'll go along with it. They've got a college degree from a fake college that taught them fake medicine, and that gives them the right to be hired by CNN and spew all their fake scientific propaganda. Well, I just had to say that. Anyhow, there, here's so if you go to the CD Baby Music Store, you know, I put these products out there. I have original music. I've got two albums out there, Songs Better Than Dylan. And I claim that album has more great songs on it than any album Bob Dylan ever put out there. 23 great songs. They're philosophical. They're commentary, social commentary. They're folk songs. They're easy listening songs, and they're multi-dimensional songs too, like New Age Spider, the spider that weaves the multi-dimensional webs. I write songs that nobody, about topics nobody ever wrote about. Well, anyhow, Songs Better Than Dylan. Hey, it's there. Great material. And one thing that you'll see in this album is I like to do things as simple as possible. Some of these songs, it's just a guitar and me singing over the guitar. And we're talking about first and second takes only. You know, I don't waste time doing a song 100 times in the studio with a 48-track player. I can make a great song on a 4-track player. In fact, there are some songs on that album that were done on 4-track. And they actually sound pretty good, up to par with anything done on a 48-track. But some of the things, the least amount of parts for the song, the main thing is basically the chord structure and the lyrics, and that's like folk music. Occasionally I put a bass line in, occasionally I put a lead line in on top of it. But the vocals are all first and second takes. Because if I can't get it then, forget it. I'll just move on to another one. You got a lot of songs, easy to do. And the other album I have is American Party Songs, where I have some amazing guitar solos in there, if you like guitar solos. And again, unique songs like you've never heard before. And some just down hard rock and roll. You know, songs like I'm Gonna See My Girlfriend. I got a riff in there, changed from 4-4 time to 5-4 time, and then back to 4-4 time. Not everybody knows how to do that, but I did it in that song. And if you're a guitar player, you might be interested. Plus, on that album is the music you hear at the beginning of my show, that spacey lead guitar sound. That's on that album too. Plus the lead guitar solo that I end my show with, Are You the Partying Kind, the guitar solo at the end of the song. It's one of the most tasteful, melodic guitar solos ever written and played. And then at the end of my show, I have my anthem, I Gotta Be Somebody. That's on, I believe that's on the first song on Songs Better Than Dylan. Did it on 4 tracks. That's right. Again, it was like, second take on that song. And that's it. I don't waste any more time than that. That's, if I can't do it then, it's no fun. I don't want to make it tedious. You know, that's, I want to make it simple. You know, my ideal of a perfect band is the Beatles. You know, two guitars, bass, and drums. And vocals. But sometimes I simplify. A lot of my songs, I don't even put drums on because I'm doing all the parts and I don't have a drum set and I don't really know how to play drums. My idea of drum playing is I play drums on the top of an empty 5-gallon water jug, which I do when I go to drum circles. Sounds just like a drum almost. Try it. You got an empty 5-gallon water jug, turn it upside down and start tapping on it. It makes a drum sound. But a lot of my songs on Songs Better Than Dylan, a lot of them are folk songs. They don't have any drums on them. Didn't need it. Hey, Elvis Presley, a lot of his early music, he had a lead guitar, bass guitar, and a drummer. 3-piece backup band, you know? And he also did songs without drums on it, too, just in case you didn't know, just for the record. But anyhow, check it out. The link's on at the BBS Radio show. Hit on it, connect the dots, and it'll take you to the CD Baby link. And there are my two albums. That's the fastest way to get there. You can listen to every one of the songs, too, a 29-second preview of every one of the songs. And you can buy a single song, too, for 99 cents. If you take the time to listen to the 23 songs and the 12 songs, that's a total of 35 songs on two albums there. If you take the time to listen to every one of them, I guarantee you'll find one that's it's worth paying the, you know, you can download it for 99 cents. Or you can get the real CD on Songs Better Than Dylan. You can order it. It'll come in the mail if you want it in a physical form. And let me tell you, it's getting close to the end of the show. So if you thought of calling in, well, this is your last chance. 888-627-6008. But if not, I'll just ramble on here. Hey, the good news is when the event comes, when the ETs show themselves up, that's the note creatures, not of this earth, the good note creatures. That's right, we want good notes that sound good and resonate good. We want good note creatures. Well, the good note creatures are going to show up. The ETs, also referred to as the ETs, also referred to the Star Nations of the Galactic Confederation or the Galactic Federation of Light. Yes, they're going to show themselves eventually at the event, and they're bringing with them tachyon chambers. I've talked about it before. You can actually buy them for $25,000 a piece right now, but I think they're going to give them out when they finally show up. Hey, that's it. If you're listening to my voice, you got $25,000 to spare. Just PayPal me the money so I can get my tachyon chamber. I'd like to have one. I understand how they work. You're lying on a bed underneath a pyramid, and underneath the bed is all special crystals, and it's activated for other energies to be drawn in. And that supposedly reorganizes your whole body to be in perfect shape. What more could we ask for? That's real health care. And what else are the good note creatures bringing? They're bringing replicators. That's right. Replicators to replicate physical matter, which will eventually help us get away from money. Money, the root of all evil. But give me a few roots in the meantime. That's why I have to talk about my book. Because I need money. I mean, to get above the poverty level, I have to live below the poverty level. That's it. Because I'm not going to work two jobs to buy the so-called dream life, to buy the expensive things. So I don't need expensive things to be happy. Sure, I'm living at below the poverty level, but I'm happy living here, you know? I want entertainment. I go take a walk in the woods. I love the woods. I love nature, you know? And that, it'll make you happy if you can appreciate that. And there's plenty of other things that make me happy. Good music makes me happy. Good videos make me happy. I mean, you know, I make myself happy. I tell jokes. I love people who can tell me jokes, and we can exchange jokes. Some of the funniest jokes in the world are just, they're the dirty ones. Let's face it, they all relate around sex and racial ethnic ethnics. And when you tell it as a joke, you know, it's a joke. It's not supposed to be taken seriously. But those are the funniest type jokes. Basically, the racial ethnic jokes. And if we're not going to tell them here, where are we going to tell them? The fifth dimension, I believe, nobody's going to be telling racial jokes because they're all going to be one happy family. But while we're still here on Earth, we still should tell these racial jokes because they're funny. It makes people laugh. You know, years ago, people used to pass around joke sheets. And they were funny, you know. You bring some laughter to somebody's heart. That's a love vibration. You know, again, they're not to be taken seriously. All this nonsense talk on the media about this person's making racist comments, please. Stop being a crybaby. Stop trying to say everything's racist just because somebody uses a specific term to explain something. It's communication, that's all, you know? And grow up, you know? It's, geez. What would this world be without a few funny jokes? You know, jokes make people happy. And like I said, if we're going to tell the racial jokes and the sex jokes, we better tell them while we're still here on Earth in the third dimension, because when we get to the fifth dimension, it's not going to be important anymore at that point when everybody's getting along, you know. But humor still exists. One of the best comedy nights I have was in interacting telepathically with some being hovering up in the sky over a gathering in the woods at night. And I just, like, he connected with he, she, whatever the being was. Maybe it was a non-sexual spirit being. We connected, and it was like we were partners in Jokeville. And he was feeding me the lines, and I was delivering them. You know, kind of like the ventriloquist type thing, where one guy is running the whole show and the dummy is just interacting. Well, we took turns of being the dummy, and we were a good partnership, and we told jokes all through the night until the sun broke out. And eat your heart out, real comedians, because that was real comedy. It was instantaneous, spontaneous, just made up on the spot. Hey, any comics up there? Next week, call in. We're coming to the end of the show, so you lost your chance to call in, but next week, don't miss up an opportunity to call into a live show. And it'll be your debut to the world, you know, just for the fun of it. And education, too. You might have something really educational to say. A lot of the people that have called up on the show are, they come up with a lot of educational information. Anyhow, we're coming to the end of the show. I end it the same way every week. You hear that most tasteful lead guitar solo at the end of a song. The song is Are You the Partying Kind? It's on my album, American Party Songs. If you want the whole song, the lead guitar part should entice you to want to get the record. And followed by my anthem, I Gotta Be Somebody, which is the first song on my album, Songs Better Than Dylan. It could be your anthem, too. I Gotta Be Somebody, and it could be your anthem, too. Listen to the words. Listen to the galloping horse at the end of it. Okay, Mr. Engineer, here's the countdown now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Just a statistic. I don't wanna be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody to feel alive. I don't wanna be no John Doe. I don't wanna grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join, join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Here took my stand without fear. It ain't clear.